Hello, everyone, and welcome to Getting to Know You. I'm Susan McCrae. My guest is an award-winning actress known to millions for portraying the role of Mary Ingalls on the NBC television series Little House on the Prairie. She is now a first-time author of a new book called The Way I See It. Known to her Little House family as Missy, I welcome to Getting to Know You, Melissa Anderson.
Thank you, Susan.
You're welcome, Melissa. It's wonderful to hear your voice. How are you?
Well, I'm great, and it's terrific to hear yours. And what a great idea. Actually, I was going to ask you about your radio show because I didn't know about this. But what a perfect choice for you with your voice. You have the perfect radio voice.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Well, we're going to start from the very beginning, believe it or not, because I ask this of everyone. Where were you born, Melissa?
I was born in Berkeley, California. Interestingly, I was born at the same hospital as Robert Culp. Yeah, and it was interesting because he played my father. Well, actually, that sounds funny. He played my father. I played his daughter because I had just this very small role. It was my second part, actually, in the series Shaft. And he was my father, and we were talking, and and that's when we discovered it, that we were born in the same hospital. So that was interesting.
Yeah.
And what a lovely man, by the way.
Yes, he was. He really was. He did an episode of Highway to Heaven with us. Of course, Michael knew him very well, but he was wonderful. He was wonderful.
Right. I would run into him in the Valley, possibly even before I worked with him. I can't remember exactly. And afterwards, we would end up at the same Italian restaurant and things, and at the airport occasionally. And it was always, you know, great to see him, and he always was so nice. So
yeah. The same. He's gone.
Yeah. I'm feeling older and older and older.
Oh, don't talk to me about that.
You know, it's funny, you get to an advanced age, and you're sort, you know, and lots of people that I know are you know, no longer with us. It's
I don't like to look at the newspaper anymore, to tell you the truth.
That's right. Oh.
Well, so when did you come to L.A.?
When I was 7. Because my dad was transferred. Well, I think he asked actually to be transferred and to Los Angeles because it was a drier climate, because I was horribly allergy ridden at that point. And then they discovered I indeed did have asthma, and I was then tested for food allergies as well after that, and I was allergic to everything. So the drier climate was recommended. So we moved to Los Angeles, and we had dichondra instead of grass, and, and I hated that. But I thought, why can't we have grass? But
I know.
Yeah, but
allergies are a terrible thing, I'll tell you.
That's right.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Allergy shots for twice a week for 7.5 years, and it was just lucky. You know, Mike used to say that it was because I was happy. But it was probably because I was happy, and I had allergy shots for twice a week for 7.5 years, because it was amazing that I could work in Simi Valley.
Oh yeah, and the wind out there was just
exactly
horrific.
That's
I remember
right.
That.
So, but Mike said it's because you're happy.
Oh well, he always had that.
And I was.
Yes, you were. Well, where did you go to school when you moved down here?
I lived in Woodland Hills, and I went to the local elementary school called, I believe it was Chaparral Elementary School.
Mm-hmm.
I was able to walk, and that was, you know, that was fun, especially for when you think about L.A., because now basically no one walks, probably let your child walk to school at all.
Right.
And that's what I like about living here in Montreal now. All the kids, you know, it's very safe, so the kids walk, little kids even, like my age, like a little 7-year-old, even younger, walk to school. So, and it was, you know, that was a nice school. And then after I went to the school, the middle school that was that you would automatically go to from the elementary school, just for one. I think it was only 1 year though, because then Little House was happening and all that, and
it was
difficult. But.
So how did the idea of being an actress come to be? I mean, you moved down here. You were a young girl. You were in grammar school, and then went on to school. But what promoted that?
Well, I was actually a dancer. I was actually a lot of things. I was a swimmer, and I was an ice skater, and I was a good dancer.
Mm-hmm.
And my dancing teacher, and the reason I did all those things actually was doctor's orders. The doctor believed in developing the lungs as much as possible for the asthma problem. So I did all these things, and the dancing though I sort of excelled at. And my dancing teacher at the time, his name was Louis Dupron, and he had been hired in the 30s and had actually taught Gene Kelly and Donald O'Connor. And he'd been hired by Paramount, I believe, but they released him from his contract because he couldn't act. So he thought I was this great little dancer, and I should get some acting experience. And I didn't really understand, or I wasn't paying attention to what he was saying for about a year, but I think after a while I did. And I then brought it up and said, you know, I'd like to try that. And I think it was because I was just so shy that it was one of those things that I thought, you know, I think even as a kid you kind of know what might bring you out of your shell or what might be your thing, you know.
You know, it's an interesting thing how many people who are talented and have a gift, you know, of the arts are very shy.
Right.
I mean,
right.
you may not know this, but you know, you must know that Michael was a very shy man.
I didn't know that, really.
Yes, he was. And believe me, we would have interviews in my office, and he would sit on the floor hiding from the person who was reading because he felt kind of funny making people read in front of him. He was a
really?
It was very.
And see, I think that must have been the fact that I was a kid that I didn't notice that.
Well,
that
that's probably so, yeah. But it's interesting how talented people can basically be shy.
Right.
You know?
Well, it feels like, you know, like acting or, you know, it feels like an escape, you know, when you're shy like that. You can be somebody else. That's why
exactly.
I'm still anxiety ridden to be me. I mean, I used to turn down, you know, can you do this award ceremony or whatever? Because I was I didn't want to present an award or something because I was petrified of just, you know, walking out. And also it didn't help that I used to, you know, Mike loved that one time at the affiliates dinner, and my character had just recently gone blind, and he was introducing everyone, and I came out, and the heel of my shoe tripped on a wire of a light on the edges, and I fell, and I really hurt my shin, really. It was bleeding through my silk pants all night. The whole night everyone was saying, "Are you okay? Are you?" I was so embarrassed. And, you know, he made, "Well, she's blind, you know," and I mean, that joke, of course. But so that has haunted me my entire life, like I'm going to trip and fall.
Oh, my gosh. Well, tell me, when did you meet Mary Grady? Because I know Mary was your agent when you were a young girl.
Well, after this, you know, this whole dancing teacher thing, and that was kind of, I needed to get an agent if I was going to pursue this at all. And my parents, especially my father, was quite against it. But they kind of thought that none of it would work out. You know, it's very hard to get an agent. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and that even if I did, I wouldn't like the auditions, taking time out after school to go on auditions when I could be playing basketball or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so they thought, really, what are the chances that this would ever, you know, happen? And
surprise.
So, right. So I went to meet with Mary Grady, and I think really the only reason she took me on was because I was polite and I was nice, but I was obviously shy. I answered all her questions. I don't think I initiated any conversation at all. But she commented on the retainer I had on my top teeth, because the minute any tooth got the slightest bit wiggly, I would wiggle it out. And so the dentist made me wear a retainer so that the permanent teeth wouldn't move into those spots.
Oh,
and
I see.
I never needed braces because of that, so it was a very good dentist. But anyway, so I'm wearing this retainer, and she said, does that come out? And I said, oh, yeah, and I popped it out, and I put it on her desk. And she said she knew then that there was some personality just dying to get out of me somewhere in there. So
you know, I spoke to Mary not long ago.
Really?
Yes, and she spoke about what a talented girl you were, and she's doing well, and I even interviewed her, you know, talking about being an agent in this business, and she has such a perky personality anyway. But,
oh, I'm so glad to hear she's doing well. I was afraid, you know, I'm so happy to hear that.
Yes. Well, I'll give her your best because
please do. I'm so happy to hear that.
Absolutely.
Oh, I adored her. She really, and talk about the personality. Yeah, she's just the nicest, most vivacious person,
right.
You know.
That's
and
right.
Good-hearted, you know, very,
yeah,
very good-hearted.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. She was a great person to meet, not having come from any background of show business at all, my family. She was a great person for us because she knew what she was doing. She was very good at what she did, but she wasn't Hollywood. You know, she was very down to earth, and so she was a really great agent for me.
Oh, that's wonderful. Well, then she sent you out for an interview on this.
Right. She said, I think it's a Western.
Yes, and you came in for an interview for Little House. Did you know who Michael Landon was when you were 11?
I did, because Bonanza was on Sunday nights. I had to go to bed, I think, I think it might have been on at 9.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to go to bed before that. I'm not sure. I don't really remember. But I know, or I certainly know that the one where he went blind might have been a two-hour show. I know I had to go to bed before it was over. So
you never saw the end.
So I never saw the end, no. But I certainly was aware of him. And, you know, like I thought he was, you know, so handsome. And then meeting him in person was just amazing. I mean, he was just...
Yeah.
Even more handsome in person. And even to me at 11,
true.
I mean,
it's
yeah.
True. He was better looking when you saw him up close.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And it, you know, it was so exciting. It was so exciting for me because I'd never been up for anything like a series before or a pilot before.
Yeah.
You know, it was very, very exciting.
Well, and so you got this part of Mary, and you started school on the set, I assume. And, well, of course, I know that you did. And and your teacher, did you have Helen Mannier as your teacher?
No, we did. I mean, eventually, but the pilot, it was a teacher named Irene Burke. I don't mention her name in my book, but now I just did. But, you know, she was a very nice woman, but to me, she was very scary. At that age, you know,
yeah.
I was shy and introverted, and she I don't know, something about her just scared me. Like that, you know, just like when you're in school,
yes.
there's always a teacher that just scares you a little bit, and she
yes.
was it for me. And I was quite relieved that I don't think she wanted to do a series or something, and so when our pilot sold and went to series, we had a different teacher, and that was Helen Mannier, and she was very, you know, sweet-natured and kind, and not that Irene Burke wasn't sweet and kind. I'm sure she was. She just wasn't, you know, she just
well,
frightened
we all
me.
Have our different remembrances of different teachers. I
that's
know
right,
I do.
That's right.
Believe
and,
me, I do.
And,
after all these
and,
years,
and,
I still remember Mr. Mitzman.
Oh, really? Yeah, see, so... That's right. So Helen Mirren was a much better fit for me. That's true.
Yeah, that's good.
She was delightful.
Like all underage actors, when you went to school, you had to have someone with you, a guardian. Who was that? Was that your mom?
Right. Well, we had to have a parent or guardian on the set with us when we worked, no matter what.
Right.
And then, so even through the summer, when we weren't in school, we still had to have the parent or guardian under age 18. You did. So in my case, yeah, it was, and in most child actors' case, it's their parent, one of their parents usually. And it was my mother, and it for the most part worked out very well. It could be trying at times because I think for her as well as me, because you know it's kind of different. It's not a normal situation for a mother and daughter to be in, because normally the daughter would go off to school every day and you'd be
right.
away from each other for 6-7 hours or so.
Right.
And in this case, we were together all the time. So I think it put a lot of pressure on our relationship. But for the most part, it was, I knew she wanted the best for me, which is why she was there.
Mm-hmm.
And for the most part, it worked out.
Yeah,
well.
I always remember you coming up to the production office, and there was always a can of Tab in your hand. I have never seen anybody drink that diet drink more than you did.
That's right.
I swear you could have been the spokesperson for Tab for years.
I should have been. I really should have been. Yeah, I guess I was too young, but I should have been.
Boy, I'll tell you.
I know, and I still. Oh, sorry, my dog.
That's okay.
Hang on one second.
What kind of dog is it?
Well, that's Davy, the Yorkie,
oh.
And then we have an adopted dog that we found. She found us actually, a little Shih Tzu named Dolly.
Oh.
And they kind of are. They run the house, as you can.
I know. I understand.
Yeah.
Believe me. Well, when you were working, I do want to ask you this, because, you know, we had some wonderful guest stars on Little House.
We did.
And was there anyone in particular that stands out in your mind that you loved working with that kind of left a memory and, you know, of that person?
Well, you know, I think it would be Johnny and June Carter Cash, really,
mm-hmm.
because I was so impressed with how they conducted themselves, you know, how
mm-hmm.
they were huge, huge stars at that time.
Yeah.
And they were so appreciative of to be part of our show,
mm-hmm.
and they were so good. I thought they
yeah.
did such a great job. I thought June in particular did such a great job.
Yeah.
But both of them actually. And they were just such nice people, and it's great, you know, it always is great to know that some, you know, that the people that you've admired are terrific, nice people, you know?
That's absolutely true. And then Little House ended, and we're going very quickly because it was on the air for a long time. But when
right.
it ended, what did you do?
Well, I left early because, you know, we all signed 7-year contracts when we did the pilot. And if the series sold, then we would be contracted for 7 years. So
mm-hmm.
so I was, and I was happy as a clam all those 7 years. But I ended up doing two shows the 8th season, and those were my last shows because my character by that time had been blind for quite a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, I think, so challenging for the writers to come up with anything other than some horrible tragedy for me. Because of the, you know, in that era, you know, at that time, it just made it so difficult having, you know, that period, that time period, and also this character that was blind. So the two things combined, I think, I didn't blame anybody because, you know, you can tell it was very difficult.
And
also,
you know, when you follow the books, which we did, It's very difficult if you did read them, which I'm sure you did, but when you read them and you read the character of Mary, there wasn't a lot after she became blind.
That's right. And, you know, there wasn't a lot even before.
Yeah.
I always thought that, you know, Laura was, you know, an old woman when she wrote the first book.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, you look back on your life, you look at the good and the bad, but I think as she was looking back, she saw what popped out to her, what stood out for her.
Sure.
And that's not always the other characters there. You know, I think,
and
it was
let's face it, she wasn't writing a show. She was writing her
that's
life.
That's right. Exactly. So I was just happy, I have to say, I was happy that I had a character on Little House, because yeah. Mary was pretty one dimensional in the book or the books. So so I was really happy that I, you know, had evolved.
Well,
and
you were
just
wonderful in the show. You really were. You were wonderful.
Oh, thank you.
And,
well, I loved it, and overall, you know, I had terrific things to do, and it just finally got to the point, you know, either I had to be in a scene or two of some show because just so that the audience would know that I was still alive.
Yeah, sure.
Or it was a terrible, you know, some, you know, the fire and the baby and dying, and, you know,
right.
And so it that's where it got to be too hard. Otherwise, I would have happily stayed on. But after that, you know, I was always working, you know, when we were shooting Little House anyway, on our hiatuses, I always did, you know, one or two movies of the week, and after school specials or things like that. And so I just went on and did that more. That's
sure.
kind of what I did. And then I played Edward Woodward's daughter on The Equalizer,
mm-hmm.
Which was my favorite job aside from Little House. And then after that is when I met my husband, which is strange because people think I met him on The Equalizer because he created The Equalizer, but actually he was already gone and had moved on to another show or other shows but by the time I was hired on The Equalizer. So we didn't meet that way, but we met on new episodes of the old Alfred Hitchcock Presents.
Oh, how interesting. Well, I think we should let people know who your husband is if they don't know. And he's a wonderful writer, producer, Michael Sloan. And I must say, quite handsome.
Oh, thank you. I think so, too.
Yes, absolutely.
Thank you. Yeah,
well,
yeah. Well, he's a very, you know, it's funny. Jay Bernstein used to say, my old manager, he used to say, my two favorite, oh, no, actually he didn't say that. He'd say the two nicest people in Hollywood of my husband and me. And I thought that was so nice, you know.
Yes, it was.
But, you know, my husband is a very nice person and, you know, not the typical Hollywood producer.
Oh, it's wonderful.
And wonderful
you found each other.
Like So Kent is like that. Kent's not a typical Hollywood producer.
Nope.
He's a very nice person too. So,
that's
you know, there are nice people in Hollywood and it's worked, you know, our relationship has worked out very well.
Oh,
and we
it's
have
wonderful.
two great kids, and so we're happy.
That's terrific. Now tell me, I have to go back a little. How did Pigeons Go to Die come about? Did you?
Oh,
you had the property, yes?
Yes. Well, that's interesting. That was my husband knew the writer of he was very good friends with Robert Campbell, who
mm-hmm.
wrote the book, and Robert Campbell also wrote a series of books, the La La Land books,
mm-hmm.
and he was known quite well for those. And but anyway, he'd written this charming book, Where Pigeons Go to Die, and I read it, and both my husband and I both said, you know, this is exactly, it seems to me, what Mike Landon would love to do.
Mm-hmm.
So we, you know, we were all living in Malibu at the time, so we would get together or run into each other. I used to run into Mike at the grocery store, and all I had was bags of dog food. because you know, as a kid in her very early 20s or late teens. I made sure the dogs ate, but I was eating out
but
or not eating.
You had your tab.
Because,
You had
I had
tab.
My tab. That's right. So, yeah. And anyway, we made a date to get together. I think we met at actually Beau Rivage and had dinner, and we pitched this to him and got him the material. And, yeah, when I was surprised and not surprised, I guess, I guess I was surprised that everything happened so fast. And even my husband, you know, he was surprised that basically, you know, it's always such a shock when someone is that famous that they can just green light something so fast. It can be done so quickly. At that time, Mike Landon was so big and so important at that time that's what he could do. So, you know, he made a couple of phone calls and got back to us, and that was it.
Well,
so,
he loved the idea, and when I read it, it just screamed Art Carney to me. So I think he did a beautiful job in that show, and
I do too.
Yeah, it was just wonderful.
I do too, and I was so glad, you know, especially with you know what ended up with Mike and you know the him you know going so soon. You know, I was glad that I, as an adult, was able to, you know, to have that and to have given him that. You know, I felt like, I don't know, it made me feel, it's different when you're, you know, when you're a child working with people that you love. It's different when you grow up, you know.
That's
and
right.
He was very good to me. He treated me like an adult. He didn't treat me like I was still 11.
Mm-hmm.
So it was very nice, you know. And I felt special that we were able to do that, you know.
Oh, it's wonderful. And now you've got your book, The Way I See It. And
right.
And you're out and you're promoting it and people are buying it and they love it. I've been reading all about it. And was it something that you loved doing, looking back and remembering all of these things?
Well, you know, it's funny because I had never thought about writing a book at all. I was approached and and at first I thought, no, there's been some mistake. You know, you must mean my husband. He's the writer, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was kind of surprised, you know. But the more I thought about it and talked about how I would want to approach it, I thought, okay, I think I can, you know, I think I can do this. And then it turned out to be a great experience for me because it was fun going back and revisiting things and the things that you remember, you know, it's amazing the things that suddenly you hadn't thought about in all these years, and then you know something comes to you.
Yeah.
So it was fun, you know.
That's wonderful. Well, I think people would love to buy it. It's everywhere. It's online. The Way I See It by Melissa Anderson. And Melissa, this has been a wonderful conversation, and it's now got to end.
I know, Susie. Thank you.
Well,
thank
it's
you
wonderful.
So
if you do you ever get down here?
Occasionally, I do. I do.
Yeah.
I used to more often. My dad passed away in April, I obviously went to see him more often. But I do. I will get. I'm sure it won't be too long, and maybe we can exchange information so that I can keep in contact with you and maybe see you guys.
I think we should, because I think you and Michael and Kent and I should get together and talk about old times.
That would be great.
Yes,
also,
yes,
you know, it's a standing invitation. You know, if you ever get to Montreal, you'll have to give me a ring.
Well, thank you. Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful place. Well, thank you, Melissa. And
thank you,
everyone, for tuning in so we could get to know a little bit about Melissa Anderson. And I hope you join me next Tuesday on Getting to Know You. I'm Susan McCrae, and this is Share a Vision Radio. Good night, everyone.